Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Earlier this week, we were talking about how it was National Pizza Week, and now that it's Friday, this is like the ultimate pizza day of the week. Doesn't everybody have Pizza Fridays?
Tee it off. Everybody can contribute. Let's all take part in this world celebration.
It's Anna and Raven. I was surprised because they released a study, and they said the most popular pizza combination of 2020 was the Hawaiian pizza, pineapple and ham, which floored me because I...
You think it's disgusting. I'm not a hater, but yeah, you feel strongly about it.
But we were thinking, you know, it's a new year. It's time to experiment and try new things. And we want to know from you, what is your favorite pizza combination that's definitely worth a try? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I know it sounds kind of weird, but I actually really love eel on pizza. The place I go to, they call it sushi pizza.
What? Eel?
Eel.
What?
Yeah.
I like shrimp on my pizza.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm messing with the eel. I mean, again, how do you make that experiment? Who is the person that says, we're going to put these two things together?
Because pizza places are masterpiece places. That's where magic happens. And I guess magic sometimes includes eel and spicy mayo.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your strange pizza combination?
I actually like yam and eggs on my pizza. I know it sounds weird, but it's really good. I promise you.
Yes?
Yam and eggs.
Yeah.
Well, like a yam is kind of sweet. Yeah.
I tried it first in college. It was really good.
It sounds like a breakfast. I mean, I would try that.
Hey, spread the word, honestly. It's great.
You say that now, but what if it catches on and then all of a sudden there's some sort of shortage or something like that? Then you're left out in the cold.
There's going to be a yam shortage.
Right, you'd be like, I knew before everybody else.
Hey, all I know is I want a piece of the credit if it gets popular.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your favorite pizza combination that's weird?
Hey, guys. I heard you saying that pineapple and ham is the most popular, but they should try something else, which is pineapple and black olive. It's the way to go.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie.
It's so good. Have you tried it?
No. I'm never trying anything with olives. I'm not an olive guy, so I'm the wrong guy to talk to. But it just sounds wacky, sweet, and like gross.
It's so good.
I'm the opposite. I love black olives, and I definitely like black olives on my pizza. But with pineapple, that just seems like such a strange combination. I would say that I would give it a whirl, but I'm not even gonna lie. I'm not going to.
Well, how did you end up trying it? Did somebody spill something? That's what I. Somebody knocked over a can?
No, it was actually, we did a half and half pizza. My friend wanted the Hawaiian on one side, and I like black olive a lot. And then there was a piece that was a holy abomination of the two.
We spilled over.
She's like, I'm not touching that because she hates olive, because she's wrong, like you. I had that slice, and I was like, oh my God, without the ham, this is like perfect.
You know, this all came up because there was an article in the New York Times, and it was about letting your children watch Schitt's Creek, despite how old they are, if they weren't technically old enough to watch the show. And it caught my attention because during the pandemic, my daughter, who's only 11 years old, we watched The Office. And I remember being like, I don't know if this is appropriate for her or not, but it was such a bonding experience.
The truth is that show never gets made today, and I'll never be comfortable with you saying the title of the show you're watching now.
Schitt's Creek. It's Anna and Raven. Carrie Goldman is an author and speaker, and she wrote that article in the New York Times, but she's also the director of a new program that's being launched called Pop Culture Hero Coalition. Carrie, what is that about?
I'm the director of the curriculum for the Pop Culture Hero Coalition. And basically, we have written 32 lesson plans that deal with social emotional learning and bullying prevention and self-identity, but we teach them through stories that are popular in pop culture.
I mean, just imagine, Anna, you go back to school tomorrow and now you're doing it through the lens of a Hollywood Report. Like, I mean, That's brilliant. These are the stories that kids are exposed to every day. These are the stories that regular people are reading in the news every day. Social studies would have been completely reinvented for me if it was in Wakanda.
Right. And much like you, when we decided, like, I'm like, I'm going to let her watch The Office, you know? And then I kind of felt bad about it. Same thing with Schitt's Creek. She asked me if we could watch
it.
And I was like, I don't know. Like, it seems like it might be a little bit above our head, but you're saying that because of the pandemic and everything that's been going on, it's all right to kind of bring this into your family. Yeah,
it is. I interviewed a bunch of psychologists for this article, and the general consensus was that specifically when you watch these shows with your kids, so that when you're there, it's different sending the kid off to watch The Office or to watch Schitt's Creek on their own and draw their own conclusions. But if you have the ability at night to sit there and to provide context, to answer questions, to support the child through the viewing, not only is it a bonding experience, but in many cases, it becomes a launching point for a lot of discussions kids need to have anyway, around sex, around bodies, around relationships.
Yeah, it's scary on the surface. I mean, just the language and the everything is very quick, right? And the wit is very fast. And there are a lot of situations where you want your kids to be quick and funny in all those different spots. But of course, there are other situations where you want them not to reveal that they have that humor in them at such a young age. But one thing that I think I can clearly see is that, you know, these shows are made up of characters with all sorts of different interests, different genders, different sexual interests or relationships, that type of thing. And it does open up conversation that might not happen in a lot of households.
And not only does it open it up, but it also normalizes it. You know, if a kid sees characters of all different, you know, sexual orientations and genders and colors and races and religions in the shows they watch, it normalizes that people come in all different ways. Now, where the psychologist did point out a difference was you have to be more cautious necessarily with violent content, right? So whereas we might sit down and watch Schitt's Creek or The Office or The Fosters or whatever with our kids and talk through the different sexual content, it's a different story if what you're exposing them to is rated R because it's violent or scary. And in that case, there's the potential for harm or trauma.
Carrie Goldman, if you want to learn more about Pop Culture Hero Coalition, you can head to their website, popculturehero.org. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you're one of the 14% of men that say they find Alexa, and I'm talking about like the Amazon Echo robot dot thing, attractive, that's all I need to know about you.
There's got to be some science behind this. Why? Yeah. There's some numbers behind this or something like that. Why? What's the deal?
They did a poll. They did a study, and they found out that 14% of men are actually really turned on by Alexa.
So the voice?
Yeah, her voice and just like the interaction. And so I
think it's the submissiveness of it.
I don't know.
Somebody there to just wait on your every beck and call.
Like, guys,
she never talks back.
Gentlemen, you know that she's not real, right? Like somebody told
Say
you
what?
That. What? But then I went on YouTube, Raven.
Okay.
And I looked up like Alexa stuff.
Sexy
like,
Alexa?
What?
Alexa, I like big butts.
You cannot lie. Good. Honesty is important.
Mm. Alexa, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's better than yours.
Right.
There were about 70.
It's true. Alexa does do that. She'll finish lyrics for you. She'll sing back to you.
There was like 70,000 videos of just guys talking to Alexa endlessly for hours.
You know
and
what?
I was like,
hey,
what
listen,
is happening?
You know what? Cat ladies became a thing, all right? But we all know that guys own cats, too. I'm just saying, I'm certain that there's girls out there that are dating their Alexa, too. All right? And we don't have to put it in one.
Who said they're dating?
I'm just saying.
Like, how do you date a robot?
Like that movie, you know, where he's like dating Scarlett Johansson, but it's not Scarlett Johansson. It's like, you know, it's like a robot, just like that.
Her.
That was a decent movie.
No, that's creepy.
It was actually the most I liked Scarlett Johansson ever.
When she was just the voice of a robot?
But I couldn't see that her face had that smug look on it where I knew she was lying.
What's wrong with you? That's all I need to know about you. It's weird. It's weird.
If you use your cell phone on speaker in a restaurant, that's all I need to know about you. Listen, I understand it's quarter or half capacity or whatever and all that stuff anyways, but that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you become a cave person.
Yep.
Like, come on. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's one thing to get a phone call. You know, maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're just somebody who's waiting on something. Or you can pick it up the first 3 seconds and then put it off of speakerphone and finish your conversation. I'm not even saying that it's cool to have a conversation in a restaurant, but at a quarter capacity, I could probably deal with it. But when it's on speaker, come on.
I don't think it's
echoing through the cavernous place that you're at.
I don't think there's actually ever a time to have a conversation on speaker unless there's like two people that are sitting next to each other.
The only time that you can have your phone on speaker and be having a conversation, there's a couple different ways, right?
Yeah.
You're a paramedic or you're not a paramedic and you're trying to save somebody's life on the side of a road or in a dangerous situation or in this case in an empty restaurant.
And the 911 operator is telling
you instructions.
What to do.
Right. That's one thing that you can do.
That's made
you're
sense.
Trying to land a plane because the pilot passed out.
Oh, okay.
And the control tower is on the phone.
Yeah.
Same thing.
You
telling
can do
you,
it.
Don't hit that knob. Don't hit that. Those times are acceptable.
Those are the only two times, I think. That's it. If you're saving a plane from going down or saving somebody that's having a medical emergency.
You're a mechanic and you need a part, but your hands are all oily. No, your hands are oily. You can't touch your phone when your hands are oily.
They got to use your
elbow. So you're calling the store, the auto parts store, and calling out these parts. And he says to you, we're going to land this plane together.
This took a weird turn.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia, what is going on?
Nothing much, Anna. How are you?
I'm all right. I know that you've got this. Can I even talk about it? Am I allowed to talk about it? Is it weird?
Oh, well, you can call it a procedure.
Okay. You're having a procedure later this morning, and I know that you can't eat. And I know that Raven gets upset when you can't eat because then you're upset, which makes him more upset, and then he feels like he can't eat anything either.
Oh, well, he can't eat in front of me. He needs to eat, like, in the garage or the basement because I can't eat for, like, 36 hours, and it's awful. So I'm hangry on a regular basis if I don't get to food quick enough. Like, this is straight torture.
It's true. You would think that she's got, like, low blood sugar or something like that. No, she just gets crazy, like demonized. You know, with this procedure that she's getting done, I don't want to reveal too much, but it's a camera up the rear. So because of that.
No, we can't say that. That's not nice.
I'm just saying. So because of that, you know, they don't want her eating. So it's like broth. For like 2 days. She told me yesterday, Anna, that she not only is not going to cook anything or prepare anything for us to eat today because she can't, but she said not to bring anything near the house that smells like something.
What the weird thing is that, like, normally, if you think about it, there's some days where you're so busy, right? I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I'll go, like, the whole day not eating anything, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't eat anything today. But when the doctor tells you you have to fast from midnight to whatever time you have to go to the procedure or you have to go to your appointment or whatever it is.
Camera in the woohoo.
Every time your doctor says that, it's like all of a sudden it becomes like it weighs on you. Like you've never eaten before in your life, you know?
And never going to eat again.
It's terrible.
Right.
But the restrictions like leading up to it too, I haven't been able to have a piece of fruit or a vegetable all week. Like you can't have seeds, can't have nuts, can't have anything with skin. You can't have any fruit with a membrane. Like, come on.
I didn't know fruit had membranes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't have an orange because it has membrane.
Wow.
Bananas have membrane and little seeds in it. Like you can't have anything.
You know,
can't have red dye. You can't have blue dye. Like you can't eat. I ate like a toddler's menu this week.
Do you see what my day is?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She's like, I mean, what's this blue dye that you normally would eat that now you can't have?
Something.
read packages.
She's like, I was going to have a Slurpee. And now there's no way I can have that Slurpee. Or the membranes. I love fruits with membranes.
I'm glad you're having fun. You don't have to go home to her. I'm glad you're having a good time now.
I'm sorry, Alicia. No, I feel your pain. I get it. It stings. It's so funny, but it stings when you have to fast for that time.
And no milk. I had to drink black coffee. So gross. I don't know how people do that.
I mean, I think you probably could have skipped the caffeine and maybe just went back to bed. Would have been all right. She told me yesterday, she's like, this is how upside down the world is. She said, go to a drive-thru and eat it before you get here. That would be scorched earth if I did that normal times, Anna.
Well, She's encouraging you. So how's he been supportive of this time where you can't have membranes or blue dye?
Oh, you guys are both fantastic. That's how supportive he's been. What you guys are doing right now, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. And, you know, I'm just hangry, and I can't leave the house because, you know, I have to drink all this water and you know, stuff happens. And I'm looking at all the things that he hasn't done. So he thinks he's so funny right now. Wait till he gets home.
Okay, good. So what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
A C. Getting a C.
For can I stay out?
So funny. How about a D?
Can I just get my McDonald's drive-thru and sit in the parking lot till Thursday?
Can I sleep in the car?
Thanks,
Can't
Alicia.
Wait to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Average American makes 2,190 excuses every single year. That's 6 excuses a day that you come up with to get out of something.
Well, you know, actually, when you do the math there, that's actually not all that bad.
Well.
that sounds real. I mean, it sounds completely doable.
What?
If you were going to commit yourself to telling some lies, to making some excuses, that kind of thing, 6 a day seems pretty good.
It's Anna and Raven. As soon as I read this, I'm like, wait a minute. And then I thought about it. I go, okay. It's really early in the morning. Have I made any excuses yet? And I thought about it. I go, wait a minute. I always take the 3 flights of stairs up here to our studio.
Okay.
And I do it as part of like, I move. I'm moving my body a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to count those steps, you know. Today, I wore new boots. And I convinced myself as I was walking in that I couldn't walk up the stairs.
You couldn't handle it.
Because the boots were going to make my feet hurt.
Right.
Like, that was an excuse. There's no reason why I couldn't have done that.
Right, right. And we just saw a photo of ourselves that we weren't very happy about. And we made excuses about that.
Right.
And why the photo is no good.
Yeah.
So
they used an old picture of us in this press release. And the picture is 7 weeks postpartum for me after I had my last daughter.
Sounds like an excuse.
Well, it's an excuse. No, Anna, you're just gross. That's
right.
Oh, but the number one excuse that people use to get out of things is I'm too tired, which we do all the time. But I don't really think it's an excuse.
Right. I mean, to be fair, if it's factual, is it really an excuse? I mean, if we are tired, I'm sure everybody feels tired. But yeah, I mean, we have crazy schedules and we wake up early. So
you know, you're making excuses.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Second most used excuse that people use, I don't have any money for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an easy one, too, because nobody is allowed to look in your checkbook or anything like that.
It's true.
You don't turn over your financials to other people, your friends or whatever, just because you can't make it Saturday night.
Right. I say that to my daughter Hayden every single time she wants to buy something that's nonsense.
Right. We don't have the money.
We don't have any money.
Right.
We don't have money.
Yet here we are eating and drove here and the heat is fantastic. Right.
And the third excuse that most commonly people use is they don't have any time for it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
getting out of the gym.
That's my go-to is I've always got to work. Right.
Yep.
So if it's a night where I don't want to do something during the week, obviously it's easy. I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
That one's easy. I just always say, got to go to bed. Got to go to bed. There is nothing in my life that takes place past 7:30 on a weeknight.
Right.
Nothing. At that point, I have to be home. Even if my wife demanded me to go to the store, nope, got to go to bed in an hour and a half.
Right.
Even if it's 2 minutes down the road. And then on the weekends, it's always got to work.
Got to work.
Got to work.
So what I thought was interesting about all these excuses that people are using every single day is that almost 30%, 29% of people make up excuses to get out of going to social events.
Yeah.
So that means that 1 in 3 people every week is coming up with an excuse not to do something fun.
Well, it's the thing that's expendable for them, right? It's not required. It doesn't actually pay them back.
1 in 3 people come up with an excuse every week to get out of going to a social event that you should want to go to.
Yeah, the thing about social events, though, is that, you know, in your mind, it's basically flexible, right? You work because you need to eat, because you need to live somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Social events you do because you want to. And let's face it, sometimes you're just like, eh.
Ugh, it's Anna and Raven. You always have those friends, though, that they find the reason to cancel last minute and they always have these excuses.
Sure.
Turns out they're not alone. Average American comes up with 2,190 excuses a year. That's 6 excuses a day you come up with to validify whatever is going on in your head.
When you give me the first stat, it sounds like a lot. But when you say 6 a day, it seems like nothing, actually.
So what is the top excuse that you use to get out of going to a social event or doing something? 1-800-330-9999.
Anna and Raven. Oh, my kids, every time.
Yep, just like me, my daughter. See, but I take it one step further. It's like, I can't get a babysitter. I've exhausted all my options on babysitting.
Ma'am, how old are your kids?
My kids are 1 and 11.
Okay, so I mean, at least...
If it's not a babysitter, it's homework.
Yeah, so you've got the same thing as Anna. So, I mean, at least one is still young. It's not like they have beards and they're off. I've got a friend, my wife's friend, all right, who's always like, I can't do this for two reasons. It's either something to do with the kids, which, by the way, all the kids are off at college at this point. Even in these current times, the kids are out of the house, or I've got to have a date with my husband, who she's always complaining about the fact that they never go anywhere. So you can't do that both in the same conversation. People know you're full of it.
Maybe she's paying a lot of college loans.
Right, exactly.
I guess so. I mean, unless she's hand-delivering sandwiches, I don't know why that's taking up her time on a weekend.
Hi, Etienne and Raven. What's the excuse that you use to get out of going to events?
Not me, but my wife to avoid fun every week. I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
Oh, right.
I hate that word.
The old standby. Right. I have a headache. Not yeah. Today. Right.
See,
or I ate too much. My wife's is that I ate too much. I feel too full.
Yeah.
When I want to make out.
That excuse is used at least 500 million times a day all over the world.
It's her go-to. It's her standby.
You got to be
and
more
And it works
creative.
Every time because you're just resolved to quit your effort at that point.
Yeah.
Hey, Anna and Raven, what's your go-to excuse to get out of something?
It's always my car. I have a new car. But I've had that thing have problems for like 2 years now. It'll make a weird noise or, oh gosh, a light came on or, you know, it makes that skipping feeling. I should probably get it looked at. And I just keep making up stuff that could go wrong. I don't even know if these are real things.
Yeah, I mean, skipping feeling. What is that?
Right? But you think it could be something, don't you?
Do you believe that, like, in jinxing? Because if I said things like that.
You had a car like that. You had a car that
yeah,
was
but it
new,
really...
but it.
But it really did it. I didn't make it up.
Well, whatever you say now.
You think I lied? My excuse for being late to work that morning was I didn't hit a deer?
I'm just saying it's a different attitude here. Like, my check engine light came on 3 days ago. You think I've been driving differently? If anything, I'm driving faster.
This woman, if her check light comes on, she's going to skip her sister's wedding.
That's right.
She's like, I'm sorry. I can't make it. The check light came on in my car. 2,190. Sounds like a lot. That's the amount of excuses you come up with every year to get out of things.
Yeah, but you break it down daily. You said six times a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we've already covered that versus the first couple hours of our morning.
Right. It's Hannah and Raven. Top three excuses people use. Number three, got no time. Number two, no money. And number one, I'm too tired, which I use all the time. And it's more like a sadness because I really am too tired to do things.
But when you say you're too tired, you expect the other person to immediately relate to your sadness. My wife never accepts that excuse from me.
Right. The most ironic part about all of this is that one in three people make up excuses to get out of doing social events, things that you're supposed to want to do every single week. We wanted to know, what's the excuse that you use to get out of things? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven?
Yeah, so I blame everything on my boss. He's a known jerk, so I always complain that he just gave me, like, last-minute projects, so I have to work all weekend.
Is your boss actually a jerk so you don't feel bad, or is he, like, a nice guy?
No, he's really a jerk.
Oh.
Like, everyone knows.
You know, the cool thing is, though, is, like, working with a jerk, at least most of the time, they're predictable. Right. So you know that they always say, like, it's warmer under the wing of the dragon or the devil than you think it is. That's what I think. That's a nice perk right there. Oh, my jerk boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your go-to excuse to get out of something?
This is a really good one. I always say that I'm constipated so that I can't go somewhere. And trust me, well, not only are my friends used to it, but they do not want to touch that subject. They kind of think, wow, she's really got a bad thing going with this constipation. It happens a lot to her.
Yep.
So they're used
genius.
To it now.
It's like trying to get out of a speeding ticket when you're like, oh, I have to poop. I have to poop. You figure that people are so disgusted by the thought of poop being anywhere near poop where it might erupt, where it might leak out, or where it's just being held in storage like it is in your body, supposedly, allegedly, that will just back away immediately without asking other questions. Is that your theory, ma'am?
Exactly.
Yep. And you're right.
You're right. Who's going to argue that? When you're
it's
like,
science.
I'm really constipated. I don't feel well.
Right.
I can't go out. You're like, all right. Like,
right.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your go-to excuse to get out of something?
Every time I want to get out of plans, especially on the weekends, I just say that I have a client emergency. I'm a therapist, and my friends know that I can't tell them any of the details about my patients, so they don't ask any questions. I know. But what I really want to do is just sit at home, eat Chinese food, and avoid having to get dressed up to go out.
You know, a therapist would tell you that that's not really good behavior, I would guess. You know, they'd probably tell you it's healthier to tell the truth and get out there and do it. But given the fact that you don't have to, you know, answer to anybody but yourself, I think you're probably all right.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it feels really good.
Now, let's be honest. Do you talk about any of your craziest clients with your friends? Come on.
I don't. No. Oh, my God. You can get in so much trouble for that.
I don't think so. I think you just have to not give names.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Just keep it general, man.
Right.
For all they know, you're talking about a TV show.
Yeah, Wednesday 4:30, lady. Yeah, that's what I would call her. I'm not sure I'd want you as my therapist. Not going to lie, though. Thanks for the call. Raven, when people ask for advice, you want to be able to help them in the best way you can, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so check out this call that we got the other day. It's Anna and Raven.
Hey, guys. So I'm looking for some advice. I don't really know what to do. My really good friend is getting married. She, like, was trying to decide this whole past year, is she going to do it or not? You know, like, not, I mean, like, yes, she's going to do it, but, like, when? Now that things are getting better, she's decided in August of this year. But the problem is, I just think her fiancé is really sketchy. He is always going out and makes half of what she makes, and I just think he's really taking advantage of her. And now that, like, we're really coming down to it and it's actually going to happen, I don't know if I'm supposed to just keep my mouth shut and be supportive, or if I should say something.
Mm. That's a tough spot. It's a tough spot because, of course, if you're right and you say something and she's able to avoid that pitfall before it happens, well, you're the hero. But even if you are right and she doesn't avoid that pitfall before it happens, which a lot of times if people are already saying they're getting married, no matter what you say is going to change their mind, then you're the friend that gets written off, possibly.
I mean, she has been delaying this whole getting married because of COVID, which I mean, lots of people have. She's not alone. It never crossed your mind, like, before she actually set a date now to say something earlier or to mention it or anything like that?
I mean, I guess I just kept feeling like, you know, she's putting it off. Maybe she'll figure it out before we get there. And now she has the date, and now I'm like, oh crap, it's real.
Yeah, that's
a tough thing. What do you do?
Yeah, I would say nothing. As much as I can imagine being a girl who's been asked to be part of the wedding party, my experience dealing with couples that are getting married, I would keep my mouth shut around the bride. On the other hand, as a guy says that to another guy. Just says it. Just, right. I mean, I had two friends say it to me. First marriage. Should have listened to either one.
One of my best girlfriends, same thing, really close. I could not stand the guy that she was marrying. I could not stand him. Actually, I had dated him many years before.
Oh, perfect.
And I knew that he was bad news. But, like, what happened was, how do you say? I felt like you felt. Like, what do you say?
No, you have to just go.
Right. And I felt like she also maybe thinks, like, why would I bring that up? Because
right.
I dated him.
Because you want him.
I'll never forget. When those church doors opened, she's stunningly beautiful. And I was looking at her. Her dress was gorgeous. Everything was perfect. Her face was terrified. She knew. You know, and I think they ended up getting divorced 9 months later.
Oh,
9 months later, they got divorced.
That's too bad.
But all I ever think about is, like, why, if I opened my mouth, would that have been the thing to make her change her mind? Was she waiting for somebody to say that, you know?
No, she wasn't.
You don't think so? All right. Well,
I knew it. They said it to me. They were like, the car is running. The door is 16 feet from us.
And you still went through with it.
I did.
Yep. Well, what we can do is we can ask our audience. We can see what they have to say about it. Sound cool?
Yeah, please.
We got a call asking for advice. She really dislikes her best friend's fiance. And now that they've actually set a wedding day, she feels like it's the time that she should tell her that.
Yeah, it's a dangerous time, though, to tell a friend, too. When they're getting married, if you tell them you don't approve of their new spouse, that could be the end of your friendship.
Would you be honest with your best friend and tell her at this point? Or do you just keep your mouth shut and let her go through with the wedding? 1-800-330 9999. Dana and Raven.
No, you know what? I actually made that mistake once. I told my best friend that I thought her fiance was cheating on her, and we haven't spoken in maybe, I want to say, 4 years. So,
Aww. Yeah,
I tried to text her, call her, and nothing. And I know they've been married for 2 years now, and on Facebook, they seem fine. Everything looks great, but I really have this strong suspicion that he was cheating on her.
4 years later, she's still like, I'm waiting for the day.
One of these days.
You might have been right, and she might have been just okay with it.
Right.
You
well,
know?
Sometimes they accept
you never know.
You've made a decision, right? Sometimes, you know, you've made the decision. And also sometimes those things are more important to others than they are to us. But
were you for sure before you said it that you thought he was cheating on her, or was it just like speculation?
You know, I was like 75% sure.
Oh.
I had
seen, had thought I'd seen him out with this other woman and they looked like super cozy and like didn't seem right. I struggled to tell her about it, but you know, I was like, I just want to be a good friend. I don't want to have this on my conscience if it ever happened. Told her, and like he just made up this whole lie that they were coworkers and nothing was going on. I don't know. It was this whole thing, but you know how you get a feeling about people?
No, yeah. Usually your gut is right.
I had that feeling and I was just trying to listen to my intuition about it, but
your intuition is lonely now. No, that's
right. I lost a friend, yeah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Would you say something to a friend if she was about to marry somebody you really didn't like?
Oh, yeah. I've totally done that. You know, I've said, hey, listen, this guy's shady. Why did he go to Thailand with his quote-unquote friend 5 months ago? And, you know, she was kind of like upset with me. But I have to look out for my friend, even if they're if she gets mad at me. Like, I'm going to tell you straight up because it's too big of a step for you to, like, make a mistake and me not say anything.
So what happened? So did she marry this person or what happened?
Well, no, she didn't marry him, but, like, the relationship dragged on for 3 years. And now she's, like, finally coming to her senses, like, oh, we're just friends. I told her to cut this dude off, like, long ago. Now she's wasted time. She could have dated somebody else, met somebody else, and really been engaged again. Ladies, listen to your best friends. They have your best interest at heart.
I kind of agree. I agree. And I also think that at any time, if you're dating a man and he's going to Thailand, which I'm sure is a beautiful place.
Thailand, you know, is just always the mark of something terrible is going to go on there.
Something bad is happening. Something bad. And my girlfriends have gone to Thailand, and I thought it was beautiful. But definitely, I don't know. When a guy goes to Thailand with his buddies, it just seems like a problem.
Hi, Anna and Raven. You got a friend that's getting married. Do you tell them if you don't like their fiance?
For me, it depends on how far along they are. If they already got plans for the wedding, I feel really bad if he was in love with them and I told him, you know, you should not marry this woman. I just feel awful that I ruined everything and then I'd lose a friendship.
So once there's a deposit down, you're not going to say a word.
That's the cutoff.
That's right.
Deposit on once, a wedding hall, then you no longer say anything.
Once it starts to get expensive, his friend is ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's already done, but I mean, if he comes to me up front and says, hey, I'm thinking about marrying this girl, that's my in. That's my window, or else it's, you know, you got to learn your lesson.
What would you do? Let us know on our Facebook page. If you're not friends with us yet, just search Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what they're arguing about, and then you get to decide who's right. Christian and Annie. Annie, what's going on?
Okay, so we've been talking for years about getting a dog, and finally, my husband has decided that we can get one, but right before, like just a couple days before we were going to go pick it up, we found out that I'm pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So now he wants to wait a little bit longer to get the dog. And I sort of feel like this is actually the best time to get one because it's like really good, you know, practice for us to just be, you know,
caring for
and
something.
Taking
sure.
care of. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say it was just because you could have the dog break in and then welcome the baby with the dog.
I mean, that'd be fun, too. But
yeah.
The dog poops outside. The baby poops inside. So you'll be all right. It's not going to overlap too much. Christian, what's your side of this?
I just think it's just too much right now. You know, a baby, that is more than a full-time job. I mean, that's your life. I mean, everything is going to change. And I just think right now we just need to wait to have a dog. We need to just focus on being ready for this baby, and then once, you know, our new gift comes into the world, we just need to focus on that. I'm all about just less is more and just being really specific and focused.
He is worked up about his baby coming. Right.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you? A baby.
Christian is worked up.
Dog,
right. No, I get it.
It's just a big. Yeah, it's just that's just another big responsibility that right now I just don't think we're ready, and I don't want to deal with that. Just,
well,
not yet.
But you already have a dog picked out that you're supposed to go be picking up, so you would be canceling on this puppy that you already had picked, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Christian, that having a baby is a big deal, and you, obviously, and maybe waiting until after the baby is here and you're settled into being parents, that would be a better time to introduce a dog into your family. But they may see Annie's side too, that you've already picked out this dog, you've decided you want this dog, and you're newly pregnant, you've got time. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah, sure.
Christian and Annie have been waiting a long time to get a puppy. Christian's been hesitant. They have finally agreed, and they have found the perfect dog, and they just found out that Annie is pregnant.
Of course, that means he wants to pump the brakes. He's a planner, all right? A little bit nervous in this situation, feeling a little bit overwhelmed. But Annie thinks this is the perfect way to round out our new family.
Yeah, what do you think? Would you still get a dog if you knew you were pregnant and you're about to have your first child? It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999.
I am on the wife's side. I think that they should get the puppy before the baby comes. They have plenty of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of your new normal, which I hate that phrase at this point in life. But I get what you're saying. It's like, bring it on now. That way you'll have time to adapt. Then the baby gets there. Now you're your typical American family. Think about that family portrait, Anna Zapp.
If you had asked me a couple years ago what I would have thought about this, I would have been like, no, it's not a good time to get a dog. But when my baby Dakota was born, you know, obviously we didn't know we were going to be able to have her.
The dog was there.
The dog was there and was only a year old. And their bond is stronger than anything else.
Right.
And it's beautiful. Christian and Annie have finally decided to adopt a puppy. They have a deposit on the puppy and everything is great. And now they found out that Annie is pregnant, which is also great, but Christian thinks they should hold off on adopting the pet.
Listen, he's apprehensive, and rightfully so. It's their first child, but if you listen to Annie, it took a long time to convince him to get the dog, too, so maybe he's just overly cautious all the time. She wants him to take that plunge.
What do you think? Should they be getting a puppy when they know they've got a baby on the way? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I have had maybe six dogs over my lifetime, and there's nothing like having a dog, especially when a kid comes into the world. First of all, if they share responsibilities, they'll get to know each other a lot better, and a dog will make people happy. It's just happiness, and you need that happiness and camaraderie when you're having a child.
Thank you for the
call. Thank you for the call. Have a good morning.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
I am on her side, actually. I found out I was pregnant, but I actually already got the puppy beforehand, but I'd only had her for about a week, and she was and is still the best addition that we've ever had to our family, and the bond that she has with our daughter is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat.
Thank you for the call. I think it makes kids better, right? I think it makes parents better, too. It teaches patience all around before the baby gets there.
Well, let's not be naive, either. It's a lot of responsibility,
sure.
And having both is not easy. It wasn't easy. Now it's easy, but it wasn't easy at the beginning.
You'd be amazed what you can take on.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think it's good that they get acclimated with the puppy, and you only agree to get the puppy. I had a puppy when I had my baby, and I'm telling you, it was like the nanny. My baby would bark like, hello, hello. He needs a bottle. Like, wait for me at the doorway.
Oh, yeah. So, no, definitely.
It's good to have a puppy to get acclimated with the baby. I mean, you know, early. They'll be literally relative.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Annie, our audience agreed with you this morning. If you already have a deposit on a dog and there's a dog that you've already started getting ready for, then just bring the dog on in.
Exactly. I think so. Plus, I read an article recently that said that it helps with allergies for kids to have pets.
It's funny you should bring that up because my daughter's, my little one, Dakota, the 19-month-old, was allergic to our dog at the beginning, really allergic to the point where I was getting nervous.
Sure.
But she's built up an immunity. She still gets the hives, but nothing like she did at the beginning.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, the responsibility, the shared feeling of you guys caring for something and having to kind of rearrange your stuff to figure out how to do it. It is good practice, I think.
I guess I'll give it a shot. Right.
You're in it now, man. Right.
You got a problem too? Yeah, send an email. Couples Court at AnnaandRaven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
It's Lisa.
Lisa, you are up. We have $800 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, Lisa. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, Lisa. Raven is walking out of here. When that big old studio door closes, he can hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each question. Then I'll bring him back into the studio and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, though, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I am ready, Anna.
Okay, number one, Justin Timberlake and Demi Lovato are 2 of the many artists that will perform at President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. According to the 20th Amendment, on what calendar day does an elected president begin his term?
The 21st.
Number 2, former reality star John Gosselin detailed his hospitalization due to COVID. He is recovering. What was the name of his longtime show on TLC with his wife and family?
Oh, it's like something eight, Caden, Kate plus eight. Oh, no, that was her show. I don't know.
Number three, Hall of Fame basketball player Dennis Rodman's daughter, Trinity, was just selected as a number two pick in the National Women's Soccer League by the Washington Spirit. What was her father's nickname while he was in the NBA?
Rodman.
Number four, Gwyneth Paltrow announced she's basically retired from acting and would only come back if the project involved her husband, who's Emmy-winning writer Brad Falchuk. What is the name of her character in the Marvel Universe?
She's in, like, Iron Man. She dates him. I can't think of her name, though.
And number five, Shakira is the latest celebrity to sell her music catalog for millions of dollars. What artist did she co-headline the Super Bowl with last year?
Jennifer Lopez.
All right, Lisa, I'm going to bring Raven back in. I'm not even going to lie. That wasn't great. You only got one right.
Yo.
Oh, man.
How'd she do?
She got one right.
Oh, not too good, Lisa. Mm. Let's see how I do.
No. All right, number one. Justin Timberlake, Demi Lovato are just two of the many artists that are going to perform at President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. According to the 20th Amendment, when does the president-elect begin his term?
Isn't it January 20th?
January 20th is correct. This coming Wednesday. Lisa, you said the 21st. I was like,
So you get to sleep in that first night or party all night on the 20th and then show up for work on the 21st?
Number two, former reality star John Gosselin, he detailed all the information about what happened when he was hospitalized due to COVID. He is recovering. What was the name of his longtime running show on TLC with his wife and family?
John and Kate plus eight.
That's right. It was John and Kate plus eight. It was Kate plus eight when he left the show when their marriage fell apart.
Oh, man. I was close.
You were close. Number three, Hall of Fame basketball player Dennis Rodman's daughter, Trinity, was just selected as a number two pick in the National Women's Soccer League by the Washington Spirit.
Yeah.
What was her father's nickname while in the NBA?
It's the Worm, man. The Worm.
Yep.
Greatest rebounder ever.
Number four, Gwyneth Paltrow announced that she's basically retiring from acting, would only come back if the project involved her husband. He happens to be an Emmy-winning writer, Brad Falchuk.
What's that about?
What's the name of her character in the Marvel Universe?
She's Pepper, right? Pepper?
Pepper what?
Pepper Potts.
Yep. Number five, Shakira is the latest celebrity to sell her music catalog for millions of dollars. What artist did she co-headline the Super Bowl with last year?
Oh, J-Lo. Come on. Look at me.
I'm sorry, Lisa. He beat you 5-1 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Well, that's good. I'll wear that with pride. It's Lisa and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info.
Better luck next time. Dare I say I'm on fire.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.